Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
Clint, wait, what is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sturdy's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, there's no football horny audio that I've heard today, but there is audio.
What?
It didn't really do much for me, neither one of the guys. But, you know, it was good audio, but did it get me good and turned on? Nah, not really.
Nothing about these Texans, Dirty.
Well,
not yet. I'll give them that.
Look, when you're 0-3 and you were expected to compete for an AFC Championship Super Bowl type stuff and you're 0-3, it's definitely definitely news when the head coach and the quarterback speak, no doubt about it. And they did today. D'Amico, we played D'Amico in full live at 2:40, and we played CJ full at 3:40. And if you've got the Odyssey app, AUDACY, if you've got the Odyssey app, you can use that rewind feature. Go back and listen to those specifically. And if you've got that Odyssey app, you can also catch all the podcasts, which I strongly recommend. The Big Orange Wagon, which is Tyler Milner and Patrick Creighton, but there's also several other podcasts there for your enjoyment when you choose. The Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it. Keep us on your hip. Take us any and everywhere you go. You can stream us. And always catch us, baby. Always catch us. Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. I asked the question going in. What should the Texans' offense look like moving forward? I think we can all agree that the Texans' offense needs to change.
Better.
I need to look better. That would help.
That's where my mind went.
But I don't look at, you know, I hear a lot of conversations, fire Nick Caley. I don't think that's reality. I think it'd be silly three games in to do something like that. Changing offenses is not reality. And I know people are tongue-in-cheek when they talk about those things, but the reality of it is you've got to play within the system that you've installed somehow, some way. And what this offense should look like, I think, is a very valid question. In fact, I think D'Amico Ryans actually spoke directly to this point of what the Texans need to make sure that they're doing. This is D'Amico Ryans on the coach's show on CJ Stroud and what this offense needs to look like.
Any quarterback that plays, they're always going to have their favorites. You go through the game plan throughout the week, they're going to have their favorite plays that they like. So, you know, and when you're calling it, you just want to make sure you're starring those plays and you kind of get those plays called as early as possible when those guys want it. Because as us all, when it's something you like, you're going to probably perform it a little bit better. But as we see with the tempo and certain plays, like CJ really does a good job. The 2-minute, the tempo, that's where he operates really fast, decisive, making really, really nice plays. So we have to kind of lean into that more to put him in position. Positions where he's playing quick, playing decisive.
Playing fast, playing quick, playing decisive. I agree with D'Amico Ryans wholeheartedly. That's what needs to happen. Now, how do you get there? I think you got to dig a little deeper into what D'Amico Ryans was talking about. Everything he mentioned was the exact opposite of what this offense appears to be trying to do, right? You bunch up the formations, you eat up all the play clock, and you try to get the perfect protection before anything else happens. Like, that is the exact opposite of what D'Amico Ryans just laid out as the things that C.J. Stroud does well, right? Don't take it from me. I'm just the messenger here. That was D'Amico Ryan's points, and I'm telling you what this offense is all about. We watched Deshaun Watson try to run it for years. Some of these folks around here, I wasn't in town, but some of these folks watched several other quarterbacks try to run it with Bill O'Brien. And, you know, the reality of it is it's a lot of processing at the line of scrimmage, a lot of communicating, a lot of pinpointing, a lot of trying to be perfect at the line of scrimmage, chewing up the play clock in doing so. And D'Amico just said, he just told you flat out where C.J. Stroud is at his best. So I would imagine that we're going to see more of that. What you got?
You surprised that it hasn't worked out better? I thought C.J. would... Yeah, obviously, I don't think it was a fit for Deshaun. I thought C.J. would be better in this system than he has.
Well, I think it's unfair and inaccurate to say this system as a whole is not a good fit or is a good fit for C.J. Stroud. I think in theory it's a very good fit. But I think it's obvious that Nick Caley is extremely raw and young and underdeveloped in this offense. I think it's there's everybody trying to learn it at once, the quarterback included, along with an offensive line, obviously. So I think it's way too early to say whether he is or he isn't a fit for this particular style of offense. I just think the approach has to change. You can still run this style of offense at some point down the road the way that you want to run it, with all the condensed formations, with trying to get perfect protections. I'm not saying you abort mission. I'm simply saying that you massage this thing to do what CJ does well right now. Because the reality of it is this. Nick Caley didn't take this team over 3 years ago, this offense over 3 years ago, after a 4-win season or whatever it was, and say, hey, bub, we got 2 or 3 years to build this thing. The reality of it is this team expects to win 10 or more ball games. The reality of it is this team expects to go to or beyond the second round of the playoffs.
Yep.
You don't have time to sit here and grow with this offense in hopes that a year into this thing or a year and a half into this thing, that this offense that Brady won a bunch of championships with sticks, right? You've got to find a way to weather that storm in a more effective manner. And I think the only way you do that is if you do CJ-centric things right now, right? You can, at some point, you can gravitate to more of what Nick Caley really wants to do, but right now it's clear. CJ Stroud processes faster and more decisive when the formation isn't shrunk down. Clear. That's it. When it's spread, the wide receivers are wide, the slot receivers and the tight ends are in the slots. The corners have to expand. The safeties have to declare. The linebackers have to tell you, are we going to stay in the box and possibly blitz? Or are we going to bail and cover, play zone or play some kind of man? They've got to declare. They've got to show you. It's easier as a quarterback. Take it from me. I mean, I'm not C.J. Stroud. I've not played as much football at the NFL level as C.J. Stroud. But I know this. When you spread a team out, it's significantly easier to decipher what the hell they're going, what they're doing. And right now, the number one problem for this offense is your protection, which includes the running backs and the tight ends and the O-line, and your quarterback are having a very difficult time deciphering what the hell is going on. Spread them out. Yeah. CJ processes faster. The offensive line's picture is clear. You can use tempo. You can get the voids in the coverage. All you do is step into it and you get the ball out. You don't have to bank on a guy running from a cut split out to a certain zone. It is clear for your O-line. It's clear for your quarterback. And it's precisely, Ron, what I think this offense needs to do. And I love the fact that D'Amico Ryan's in the coach's show. Now, I didn't do it today. It was in the coach's show. What was that, Monday in the coach's show?
Yep.
I mean, he spoke directly to that, and I'm telling you, man, that's powerful, because I'm going to tell you, you're going to be picking in the top 10 if they keep up they keep up what they're doing right now. This whole process over results, and we're going to show a bunch of this 2005 Brady New England Patriot film, and we're just going to stick to the process. We're going to put blinders on and stick to the process, and CJ's going to figure this thing out, and the O-line's going to figure it out, Nick Caley's going to figure it out. You're going to look up, and this season's going to be gone. And you're going to have major problems. And so I am anxious, Ron, to see what move does D'Amico make next? Because look, if you go spread and you use tempo and you're in the gun like you are a lot already anyway, and you're in gun and CJ's doing some things that look a little bit more no huddle, a little bit more spread look, that is not what Nick Caley wants to do. That is not what Nick Caley came in here to do. That is not the film that they've been watching with Tom Brady.
But, Clint, the thought is, if those are the things that he's best at, or is Nick Caley equipped enough to adapt to that? Is he right? Because you know what they said when he came in? Like,
yeah.
The thing that DeMeco said, what I love about him is he can shape the offense to what, you know, the strength of his players. Is he going to do that, or is it going to be, no, this is the system?
Well, it's not. Here's the thing: is it's in the system already. They use it in obvious situations that they need to run. They need to speed the tempo up. They need to spread a team out. They need to throw the football consistently. They're not trying to sell the run. They're not trying to get their safeties in there and the wide receiver. I'm sorry, the wide receivers in there so they can dig safeties out in the box. Which, by the way, these guys are terrible at that. I mean, Higgins looks like he don't even want to hit nobody. And I'm going to be honest with you, Nico ain't much better. You don't have a Juwan Jennings on this team. You don't have a wide receiver on this team. I'll even go back to the days of what? No, that's a good one. But what about old buddy that was here, Robert Woods, Bobby Trees? Like, he would go in there and do his damnedest. He would get after it. These guys don't even look like they want to. Higgins looks like he's a fish out of water in there just getting – I mean, he don't even know how to load up and block a safety. I mean, like, literally, technically, like, do it. It's almost like he's scared of contact. So, it's not, you know, it's not what this team does well anyway. So, I mean, there's an argument to be made, like, if you're going to do what this team does well and what the personnel does well and put them in position to play to their strengths, then you need to adjust this stuff anyway. But the amount of cut splits is absolutely ridiculous. I would argue, Ron, that spreading the formations out will help everybody involved. Spreading the formation out, using some motions, particularly with Nico Collins, it's going to make it very difficult to zero in on Nico Collins, which teams have been able to do. I think it makes it easier for Christian Kirk to sit down in a void. I think it makes it more I'll tell you what it does. Probably should have started with this. It makes it really difficult for a defense to walk backers up in the A-gap and at the snap of the ball, bail them out real hard. It makes it difficult
because they got to go
further
to play.
They got to go further to do it. If everybody's all bunched up inside the hash, and in order to get to the flats, a tight end or a wide receiver's got to run there too, and all I got to do is they start 4 yards ahead of me and I'm an inside linebacker, I can get there, right? I can cover my zone quicker, spread them out. I think you put a lot of pressure on the defense, and I think C.J. Stroud is clearly more comfortable in that type of scenario. Do you think we see any change in on that front, or you think they keep on keeping on?
I don't think we're going. I think we'll see some changes or some improve because we've done it. They've done it week after week. They've added certain things that they feel like we've seen more behind them. The line of scrimmage throws last week. We saw, I think we'll see more chips, more help with Ariante Ursary this week. But overall, consistent changes like you're talking about. Like I mean, I hate to say this, but as of now, from what we've seen, I don't even know that they see it that way. Like I don't even know if the staff that's running it sees it and says. All right, this I don't know.
Well, that's why I pointed it out, Ron, to that CJ. I mean that DeMeco Ryan said it is because there. I mean there ain't no doubt.
Somebody, by the way, texted and said Clint been saying cut splits a ton recently. What is that?
When all the receivers line up about 2 yards outside the damn tight end or the tackle. There's nobody outside the numbers, right? They're damn sure not outside the numbers, but they're all squeezed in. Close. The thought is you can inside run and you can use the receivers in blocking, picking out, digging out safeties because safeties are shooting gaps and stopping the run plays. The thought is you can do some boot action off of it and everybody's in and out kind of deal. If you are an outside run team, they can seal the edge a little bit different from the wide receiver or the tight end position. But everybody's bunched up inside the hash, inside the numbers, and it just mud. I hated it. Ron, I hated it. I mean, I'd spread them out, and I don't even have to be like a spread personnel. I mean, you can be in a 21 personnel, a run heavy personnel. Just get my wideouts out where they belong, right? Get them out there. So if they load the box up and I'm running into a loaded box, then now I can throw slants, I can throw quicks, I can do some things with my wide receivers to counterpunch that. Like when you're all bunched up in there, there's very little that you can do as a quarterback in a sense of you can kill a play and go to another one, but you can't just. I mean, the way my offense, the offense that I played, the offenses that I played in were set up were more of I can really kill any play and go to any play, right? It's hard to do that when you got all the wide receivers stacked up, bunched up inside like that. There's only so much you can do. And so, I hate the muddy waters, man. I hate the muddy waters, especially in today's game. Used to, the tendencies, I think, were a lot more obvious. Now some of these defenses are so multiple because they're changing what they do and disguising what they do based on the fact that who you are. You know what I mean? It's no longer just like the old pit blitz back in the day. You knew when you were going to play Pittsburgh, you were going to get a blitz from one side. They were going to play cover two behind it. So if you try to throw the quick route, there was a corner out there or a safety that rolled down out there that was going to knock his head off. Right? You knew you were going to get that blitz. You knew it was coming every time you played them. Right? And like it was almost that was there. Now everybody is so multiple that man, if you don't spread them out and hit them where it hurts, if you allow them to dictate, it's hard to play offense.
Hopefully, we see some changes. Your overall point of, hey, we need to see CJ get in a comfort zone.
Things that he got to, man.
That he's good at. That he can do easy, and that because it does look like. Just from watching, it looks like he's thinking a lot. It looks like he's indecisive a lot.
He's thinking a lot. He's indecisive. He's frustrated. He's slow. It's behind. You know what I mean? It's when he does speed up, it's out of control. It's not controlled. It's he's in a rough spot right now, quarterback wise, no doubt.
So give him some things that he can do easy, that is second nature. All right, coming up, is this it? Maybe some of you already are. Have you already jumped off the Astros bus? Or is tonight the last stand? Hunter Brown gets the ball. They lost last night, and 5 games ago, it's getting tougher. We'll look at the Astros and what they need to do coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
I do want to get to these Astros. 713-572-4610. Have you jumped off the ship? Have you stepped off? Are you out? Or I think tonight should be the last stand. Give them Hunter Brown. All right? Give them Hunter. They get Hunter Brown, they can get going. I do want to get there, but Sunday should be fun. As Legarius Sneed has already woken up Nico Collins, I believe, by Wednesday. Reporters in Tennessee asked Legarius Sneed his thoughts on Nico Collins. Tyler, he hit him with a who? Then the fella thought of, maybe he didn't hear me, he said Nico Collins. He said who? Second time, then said, all right, see you. They asked Nico about it. Nico forgot where he was. Just cussed a couple of times within his response. Said he's a dog. I don't talk much. I just play. Line that ass up. This should be fun with those two.
Well, look, we need to hear somebody get heated. I like heated Nico. I tell you, man. I said this in the break. I'll bring it to there. Ron, I just want to know who these cats are, man. I feel like the way that really I think it's Nick Caserio, to be completely honest with you. I think it's the way that they run their shop, which is fine. I'm not complaining. For everybody, all the sensitive Sallys out there, I'm not complaining. I'm wishing, right? Wishing, hoping, and wishing. Like I would be shocked if CJ Stroud and Nico Collins, those are the two that really matter, but I think there's more of them, but those are the two that I care about. I bet they are totally different dudes than what we've been covering for 3 years now, 4 years.
Behind closed doors, the other.
Yeah, like right there, like Nico Collins. I mean,
do you think they're being stifled, or do you think they're choosing?
I think they've all been trained in a way of put a muzzle on, shut up, do your job, and I think there is a. I think there's a personality to behind each one of these guys. I think there's CJ. CJ's is as bad as I've ever listened to constantly. Of it just seems like I just want to know CJ. I want to know more. I want CJ to take a deep breath and just break bread, man. I'm not saying you got to let the cat out of the bag and you got to be more transparent. I'm talking about deep breath, enough with the Sunday school lessons. Enough with the feel-good stories and all
that. You don't think that's just him?
No, I don't. I think that is part of him, yes. I think CJ has a very strong spiritual side that is very, very important to him and as well it should be. But it doesn't, it just seems like there's a lot of putting on. It seems like there's a lot of let me talk you into who I am or what I'm doing or talk instead of just be, take a deep breath and be you. And I think there's some of that with Nico as well. Now Nico's is not, you know, his obviously is not as spiritual.
Yeah, he seemed
driven.
To be just chill. He seemed like he just.
But like right there, like he let his guard down for a minute. And was like, shoot. I'm a dog. What the hell are you talking about? And then he went, oh my bad. Like you know what I mean? Just like, I don't know, man. I just feel like there's been a muzzle on these guys, and I would like to just have a real raw conversation. Or to hear it. Maybe it's I'm not the guy. I'm not saying I'm the guy. I'm just saying in general, like I would love to hear just like I've heard some spots with CJ Stroud. Whose podcast did he go on where they were sitting on the couch last year?
I forgot who it was, but that's the one where he was kind of speaking about Franklin and the linebackers with the Colts and
it was a different one. It was more of an entertainment type deal. And
was it the old Steelers safety? I can't think of Ryan. Right now. Yeah, was it his podcast?
No, that can't be what you've been thinking about because he would have given you more of that. I think they were $1 million something.
But anyway, the point is that CJ right there like seemed to be the real CJ. And that's not who we get in a post game in a presser every week. It's more like putting on, trying to teach a lesson, trying to convince of something versus just that dude that was sitting on that couch. And teach their own. I mean, look, teach their own. I personally yearn for more of like what we just heard from Nico. Like, who the hell does he think he is? I'm a dog. Let's line it up and do this thing then. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. I'd like to see and hear more of it.
Yeah, I think there are some guys that, you know, adhere to the way that the organization wants to do business. I think there are some guys who want to put forth a certain look of how people view them. I think there are certain people who want to do that. There are certain people who are listening. All right, let's not say nothing. Let me nip it. And then I think there are some people who just like that. Are private and just don't want.
Well, like when Jimmy Ward speaks, like there ain't no doubt. Like whatever's coming out of Jimmy Ward's mouth is exactly what he's thinking. And I just prefer that genuine, authentic stuff instead of, it seems like everybody's always so guarded with what they're going to say instead of just... Now, I'll tell you another one's not. Will Anderson ain't. Yeah. Now, he may be toeing the line a bit, but Will Anderson is... I mean, he is speaking straight from the heart, baby. I mean, he ain't even... It's coming directly from the heart. There ain't no muzzle there. It's real.
Some guy like Derek... Honest to God, I think for me, CJ comes off the way Derek Jeter and Kobe did at first where... There's a persona that they want to show, and that's what they're going to show you. And they don't feel like, all right, I ain't going to give you who the hell I am.
Like, yeah, that's
now, CJ made, I don't know if that's the feel I get. Like, there's a certain persona that some guys want to have shown, and that's what they're going to show.
So. Teach your own. I'm not judging them because of it. I just wish I had more of the raw, just.
Yeah, $1 million worth of game. I think that was the podcast that CJ was on, where he was on the couch. I think because that's where he gave his top five quarterbacks on the couch, and I think left Dak off or something. I think that was it. Now, by the way, some people text in. I said if you're still on the boat, someone texted in and said, I'm so far off the thing. I need a life raft.
Off what boat?
The Astros. Have you jumped on off?
Oh hell!
You jumped off. They did. They.
I quit them last night.
You quit it last night. Was your end?
I quit them. I don't know if it's going to be my end or not. They win a couple games, I'll get back in.
Well, if you quit them.
No, I'm just talking about last night. I mean, I went straight to the DVR. I went straight to Interrogation Raw. I went straight to the Investigative Discovery Channel last night, directly to it.
Yeah. Tyler, you quit them?
First inning.
You done?
Christian
Javier. Are you
doing
one more stand?
Never quit, but them last breaths are gasping at the moment.
Hey,
never quit, though.
Hunter
you're fighting for oxygen at the moment, huh?
They got to win tonight. All right, let's talk to our guy, B. Scott. A little Texans report. A lot going on. Cannot wait to get his thoughts on everything surrounding the Texans. B. Scott coming up next.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it is 4:40. Our guy Brandon Scott is in with his Texans report. And to hell with the with any kind of chit chat. Let's get into this thing, man. A lot surrounding the Texans right now. The biggest thing is obviously we're coming off this time yesterday, the news breaking of C.J. Gardner-Johnson being released by this team. When you see this from every aspect, in your mind are you thinking, okay, this could be a good thing and a turning point for the Texans?
No. No, I do not. Like, it could be... It could be some kind of turning point. And so, okay, let me re-answer that question. Technically, yes, but significantly, like, think about it. For me, the last couple of days now with the C.J. Gardner-Johnson news has kind of taken us off the scent of a lot of, maybe not us here at the radio station, but it has taken the focus off of a lot of the real issues or some of the other real issues that came up in not only this game, but have come up over the first 3 weeks of the season now. C.J. Gardner-Johnson has clearly been his own issue, and like the coverage issues that come up in.
Yeah, he's cost him the games, according to sources.
Well, he's certainly cost them some plays, and you could say that they've cost him the game. But we've watched the games, right? Like, what cost him the game more? C.J. Gardner-Johnson taking the wrong assignment on that Brian Thomas Jr. play, or Ariante Ursary just being unfit for the role, and then on the coaching side. As y'all talked about plenty throughout the first few days of the week, the refusal to give him any kind of consistent help, especially once it's not like the game gets to the end and now he can't hold up, he's tired, or it's starting to catch up with him. It's from said go. And that's a lot of the same stuff that we saw last year of like, hey, here's an issue that's being identified early on in the game. Ariante Ursary can't block Josh Hines Allen by himself early on in the game. We're able to identify that. Let's do something about it. Reminds me of last year. We got tight ends blocking Jonathan Greenard. Identified that early on in the game was something that you can't do. You just can't do it. And they continued to do it, or at least did it again. So that's the part that I don't understand. I think they got way bigger issues than just one rogue safety, if you will.
Imagine how good this defense could have been if he just wasn't going rogue.
No, oh, yeah, no, if you just take him out and have MJ Stewart out there, who is known as a great communicator and is going to be in the right place at the right time, and is this consummate professional, that would have been a difference, right?
Sure, it's strange that you don't take a guy out of the game that They keep screwing things up on purpose.
No, this is a bigger. They got protection issues. They got play. They got design issues. They got explosive issues. They got route running and concept issues. It's a problem over there on Kirby.
Where do you strictly on the CJ Gardner Johnson stuff? I agree wholeheartedly with every opinion you have on him being gone. But what about the football side of it?
Yeah.
You mentioned the fill in there, but what's your thought on the field? What's this look like moving forward?
Well, so it's going to be MJ Stewart until we figure out exactly where Jimmy Ward is health wise, which I don't have a great answer for that question. Obviously, Jimmy Ward was dealing with his off the field issue that seems to have at least been resolved enough for him to be off the commissioner's list. But I don't know where he is health wise, where he is training wise, how fit is he at this point? So it's going to be MJ Stewart at least coming up into this week. And I think next week we'll start to get some insight into how close or the lack thereof closeness that Jimmy Ward has in this whole thing.
Yeah, we'll see, because D'Amico said, he was asked, you think we'll be a better team? You think you're a better team today than you were than yesterday? He said, we'll see Sunday. We'll see on the field Sunday. Well, odds are their defense will take a hit Sunday without C.J. Gardner-Johnson, even with him, according to team sources, going rogue during games. But offensively, they're going to have the same cast. And they're currently, as we can talk all about, they can talk all about the Gardner-Johnson stuff. They are dead last in points, dead last on third down, dead last in a lot of major offensive categories. Do you expect to maybe see some change and growth with what we've been seeing, the product we've been seeing out there coming up against a team they should probably be able to do some things against?
I want to say yes, but if I'm being honest, what would I be basing that off of? Like, if you're going to be optimistic and say, hey, you know, they're going to figure it out, there's growth, they're like, I don't have anything that I can really point to and say, hey, they got better week to week in this area significantly. Maybe along the margins here and there, you can point to some things. I know CJ Stroud tried to talk after the game about running the ball decent. I don't feel like they ran the ball great. I thought they ran the ball decent very early in the game, but as the game went on, they didn't really run it that well either. So no, I don't really have a whole lot of optimism. The only thing that I feel like Texans fans can hang their hat on is the fact that the Titans are at least as bad as you are and possibly worse. Like a lot of people were looking at the Jaguars going into that week, like, oh, they can't lose to Jacksonville on the road. They never do. They can't fall to 0-3 because that's just not an option.
Yeah.
Clearly it was. Now, this, I think, is more so along those lines of like, well, losing to the Titans at home, it's a worse outfit than your own. Yeah. That's going to be a tough. So the offense can look better just by way of the opponent, but they got a lot of stuff to figure out.
So how do you – I mean, it doesn't seem like you're real confident even this week against the Titans.
I'm less confident in the Titans, right? Like, it's a pillow fight. It's the race for the tallest short person, right? And I think that the Texans just happen to be the tallest short person in this sort of equation and comparison there. But my feeling that the Texans are going to win this week has far less to do with them and their own operation and what they got going on, and much to do with how the schedule falls and it just being a fortunate get right situation for them.
You've covered this team since D'Amico's been here, since CJ's been here. Do you still have belief that D'Amico Ryans can figure this thing out, and the faith that he can lead this organization the way he has been? Is that still there for you?
Yeah, so I still believe in D'Amico in a vacuum, but I got serious questions about this other part, which does fall under D'Amico. Like, D'Amico, the leader, D'Amico, the overall leader, D'Amico, the defensive play caller. I still believe in all of that, but D'Amico, and I would put Nick Caserio into this mix because I don't think it's D'Amico operating alone. I would even do the trio of the organizational trio of Caserio, Ryans, and Stroud, right? Like, as a collective, I'm not sure that they've got this offensive thing figured out. Right now, I would say that they absolutely don't. and what is the road and path to success? Did they take not even one step forward, three steps back, but they just flat out take a clear step back and downgrade at offensive coordinator? It's certainly looking like that's possible. And to that end, I would say I got far less confidence. Like in them figuring that part out, figuring out the offensive side of the ball, drafting offensive linemen that they can rely on. Like we've got, I've talked about this on this show before. You've got back to back to back years where they've drafted an offensive lineman in the second round, and here we are in the third year of that, and all three of them are either not ready or unplayable. Right, in the case of Juice Scruggs, he can't even get on the field as the backup right guard.
He's in a rotation.
He's in a rotation at left guard because that's like somehow your worst offensive lineman. And so now you're putting him in there. Blake Fisher, a healthy scratch from what I could tell last week. And then, of course, Arianse Urcery has the most leeway because he gets the most rope because he's a rookie. But we've seen what that looks like as well.
And Kenyon Green is not in the league.
Yeah, and that's going even further back. But that's a Casario thing.
Yeah.
Well, what do you – I mean, have you seen enough from this – we had a conversation a little earlier about ultimately the offense and what it needs to look like moving forward. Are you – do you think they just process over results and they stay the course with this Nick Caley, project, or do they shift gears and go a little more spread like D'Amico was talking about and tempo and let him do what he does well? Do you think they shift gears a little bit, or do you think they just stay status quo?
So I don't know how they don't shift gears and do a little bit more spread and go a little bit more up-tempo just based off of, and you watch the film, Clint, and obviously they do as well. I don't know how they could watch it and not see a clear difference, a clear and obvious difference. You were talking about this earlier in the hour about how he clearly processes differently, he being C.J. Stroud, depending on what the formation and what the situation is. And so I don't see how they don't see that and how they don't lean into that. I'd also say, if I was going to lean into some kind of optimism for the offense, it was Christian Kirk's first game. I think that's going to start to look better, and he's going to help them quite a bit. Okay, the rookies as they come along, Higgins, Noel, got to see a lot more Woody Marks in this game. I think those are positives and things that they should lean into. So between that, the development of the rookies, the rookie weapons I'm talking about specifically, and them recognizing and acknowledging where C.J. Stroud is at his best, at least right now, until they figure all the other stuff out, I think that's the only way. I think that's the only way to kind of look at this offense and think, hey, it can get better.
Brandon Scott here with this Texans report. Before we get you out of here, as you cover the Texans and you bring us info, after this week, Joe Mixon's eligible to return. You hearing anything at all about Joe Mixon? Anything in any manner that would lead you to believe that he could potentially be on the practice field next week, that he could be eligible to come back soon? Any word on Joe Mixon at all?
Not a word. This is why he wasn't included in my last little spiel about what to feel optimistic about the offense. As far as that goes, because if I could, I'd include that in there. Oh, they're going to get their running back, right? But we haven't seen Joe Mixon. We haven't heard anything about Joe Mixon, at least not anything of substance, I wouldn't say.
He's not going to play again, is he?
I think he'll play again, but trying to pinpoint exactly when that is and when that's going to be is very, very, very difficult. So,
that's what it feel like. We had Mike Florio yesterday said he just gave up. He just gave up in trying. Well, to figure things out.
I mean, it's bad enough to where whenever we even press the issue, when we try to talk about it, that in and of itself becomes an issue. Or at least y'all remember how that went the last time, right? When we dare ask about.
I said, I hope he's doing well.
We're talking about their Pro Bowl 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
The guy, not just that, but the guy who was making something out of nothing. It's not like he was running behind the 90s Cowboys offensive line or anything like that, right? He was making the most out of very, very, very little to nothing. And I think a guy like that could tremendously help your offense. We haven't heard nothing about him.
No question. I can't believe they hadn't felt the need just to have an update, not wait and buck a question that comes. Just give an update of here's what's going on with Joe.
Yeah. We got to find out. Whoever that leak was yesterday
about them plays.
About them plays.
Detailed plays,
that detailed breakdown of C.J., Won't that person leak out the old Joe Mixon news?
Yeah, I'd be curious to ask them the follow up question. All right, you got all of this. You got all of this information of why y'all got rid of one of your key trade acquisitions over the offseason.
Guy who played 93% of the snaps last game.
Tell me about arguably a top two offensive player. Like after Nico Collins, that's their best player on offense is Joe Mixon. So just the idea that, A, they would be without him this long, and then, B, we would not have any information. Forget a timetable. Do we even have a serious diagnosis?
No. I got a report today that Jimmy Ward will be on the practice field going in a couple of weeks. Nothing on Mixon, though.
Yeah.
Hope he's doing well.
No, so do I. And really for their own sake, for his sake certainly, but for the Texans' own sake, lack of weapons, lack of offensive identity, you could just hand the ball off to Joe Mixon a time or two.
That'd be nice. B. Scott, every week, 4:40 Wednesday, Texas Report. We appreciate you. 5 o'clock fire coming up next.